Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 30th August 2018 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and today we have a lovely bhajan adoring our Bhagwan as Lord Krishna. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Meera Nath Hare Giridhari.
So we will now learn this bhajan. It's a short bhajan, sweet bhajan, just four lines. We will get started with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the raga, the beat of the bhajan. And then you're going to listen to a beautiful conversation with Brother Deepak Anand. Together, we will discuss the significance of the beautiful phrases that this bhajan gifts us. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Meera Nath Hare गिरिधारी राधा प्यारे कृष्ण मुरारी मीरा नाथ हरे गिरिधारी वृंदावन के साई मुरारी भक्तो धारी बाबा मुरारी.
Now that you're familiar with the lyrics, here is how the bhajan flows. Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G sharp pancham.
Meera Nath Hare Giridhari. Meera Nath Hare Giridhari. Meera Nath Hare Giridhari. Meera Nath Hare Giridhari. Radha Pyare Krishna Murari. Radha Pyare Krishna Murari. Radha Pyare Krishna Murari. Radha Pyare Krishna Murari. Vrindavan ke Sai Murari. Vrindavan ke Sai Murari. Vrindavan ke Sai Murari. Vrindavan ke Sai Murari. Bhakto Dhari Baba Murari. Bhakto Dhari Baba Murari. Bhakto Dhari Baba Murari. Bhakto Dhari Baba Murari. Meera Nath Hare Giridhari.
So that's the melodious bhajan on Lord Krishna. Brother Ravi Kumar gave us a beautiful demonstration. For those of us who are very keen to know about the raga of the bhajan, what are the swaras in this bhajan, we have Anirudh now to share with us his thoughts on the technical makeup of this bhajan. So what are your feelings on how this bhajan has been composed, Anirudh?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
First of all, what was so captivating in this bhajan was the lyrics.
Mm.
The very first line starts with Meera Nath.
Yes.
Hare Giridhari, which is very unique in the sense, we have bhajans where Radha Nath is there, Radha Pyare, Meera Nath is something which is first time I'm hearing. And generally we have the word Meera coming in the bhajans, usually in the like third or the fourth line.
Correct.
Not in the very first line.
Yes.
So that itself is something very different than other bhajans. And regarding the tune, I can say it is so beautifully composed that it is beyond the technical expertise of what I can say is the limited music knowledge is comes to a full stop where when the divinity takes over in the composer. So I can see that the bhavam in which the composer has composed this bhajan, the bhavam in which this beautiful composition has come, that if I can say which raga it belongs to, as you ask me every time, I think it can be a mix of the first line starts with something similar to Shivaranjani.
Sa da sa re ga re sa da sa,
with these many notes, and the second line goes to
Radha Pyare Krishna Murari Padani Zari Gari Sani Da Padani Zari Gari.
It's not fully a raga, it's partly, it can be classified into Kiravani or Simendra Madhyamam, and one more raga in the Carnatic music. But I can say that it is not completely belonging to that raga. And then when you go to the third line,
Vrindavan ke sai murari,
these are just set of five notes.
Pa ma gari sa.
So there are so many ragas where this pa ma gari sa comes. Mm. So it's very tough to say which raga it belongs to. Maybe we can say it is continuing in the Kiravani flavor itself. And then the last line is same as the second line.
Bhakto dhari baba murari.
This going to the down note of pa is something very unique.
Sari gari sani sani da pa,
which we see in many other bhajans like
Janaki jeevan ram raghuvar tararararara he vishwa janani shri sai janani.
It's like going down to that note. Hey Vishwajanani and Matanga Vadana, all these are very similar to, they all belong to Maya Malavagola, where you have the Shuddha Ga.
Ga, Re, Sa.
So it's a different raga altogether, but still the way the bhajans are composed sounds very similar. So you can classify Janaki Jeevanaram, Hey Vishwajanani, or maybe if you take the first line, Meera Nath Hare Giridhari, the Shivaranjani bhajans will be sounding similar, like Karunantaranga, Shivaya Parameshwaraya, etc. And if you take the Kiravani part, Sundara Shyamamurari Sai, Parthishwari Jagajanani, all these bhajans will be similar. So, as a summary, I can say that it is very tough to classify this bhajan in one particular raga, or it's very tough to say that it's a mix of these three particular ragas, because the way it is composed is just out of the feelings, and I'm sure that is beyond the arohana and the avrohana of any raga.
Any raga. In fact, you know, you began by saying that this bhajan is very unique because you have Meera in the
yes.
first word,
yes.
you have Radha
yes.
as the first word again of the second line.
Yes.
You know, so what comes to me is perhaps the raga that this bhajan belongs to is bhakti raga.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yes. you know, this bhajan has come spontaneously out of bhakti. And perhaps it has come from a being, from a heart,
which was longing for, you know, for the Lord, and perhaps with no musical background.
Yes.
You know, I think in the earlier times, and if I see the story of Mr. Mohan Rao, Mr. Raja Reddy, and Iradi sir, you know, who have sung for Bhagwan for decades,
yes,
especially in the 60s, 70s, till the boys came in. So all these great devotees of the Lord were not musicians.
Yes,
they were,
yes,
just singing. Whatever knowledge of music they have or they had was completely only out of singing bhajans.
Yes.
Iradi sir,
they're not trained in classical music or Hindustani.
Correct.
Classical.
Or Hindustani, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mohan Rao sir, he was just a train ticket, you know, very, very simple person actually.
Yes.
So, they just loved the Lord and they were only singing bhajans.
Yes.
So I think that is the reason why, you know, their compositions are so beautiful to hear and so pregnant with so much of feeling.
Absolutely.
And perhaps not under any musical boundary. It,
yes,
is, it is completely something which bound them to the Lord with their, you know, with their feelings. And I,
yes,
think that's why I felt that the best way to call, I think all our bhajans are bhakti ragas.
Yes.
Based in bhakti raga.
Yes. And in fact, even if you have to compose a bhajan like this today,
mm,
with the current trend of, the current exposure to the,
correct,
Carnatic music, the Hindustani music, the musical instruments, keyboards, synthesizers and everything,
yes,
it's really, really very tough to make a tune like this.
Mm.
Or the vintage bhajans, the tune which we have been discussing,
correct,
over a period of time.
Yes.
That itself shows that it has come not by analyzing the raga,
yes,
or should I have the thoughts in the way like, it is darbari, so let me have the komalda, and
yes,
it is absolutely beyond all this.
Yes.
And it just comes in the flow,
yes,
out of the devotion. And as you said very beautifully, that Meera and Radha both are there in this bhajan, which is,
yes,
a unique combination actually,
yes,
in terms of any other bhajan. I'm not sure as any other bhajan,
correct,
has Meera, both Meera and Radha, uh-huh, together
as the first word of both the lines, first,
yes,
two lines.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah. But Swami always emphasized the devotion of,
yes,
Meera and Radha.
Absolutely. I think it's really wonderful. And if you see also the interactions of Bhagwan with singers over the years, Bhagwan never mentioned that, oh, this note is coming in this bhajan, it does not belong to this raga. He never mentioned that. He all the time only stressed, how are you singing? Whatever is the tune, yes, be true to the tune and be true to the feeling of the,
yes,
bhajan.
Yes.
And I think that is what Sai Bhajans, as a beautiful medium of music that Bhagwan has given,
yes,
be used for our upliftment. So I think so we should not spend more on technicalities of this bhajan. Let's just do the swaras for the sake of completion of this program.
Yes. So let's take the first line.
Meera Naath Hare Giridhari Sa 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 Da Da Sa Re Ga Re Re Sa 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 Da Da Sa Re Ga Re Re Radha Pyare Krishna Murari Ga Ga Re Ga Re Sa Ni Sa Re Sa Ni Sa Ni Da Pa Ga Ga Re Ga Re Sa Ni Sa Re Sa Ni Sa Ni Da Pa Meera Naath Hare Giridhari Sa 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 Da Da Sa Re Ga Re Re Sa 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 da da sa re ga re re Vrindavan ke sai murari Pa 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 magar sari maga Ba pa 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 magar sari maga Ga ga ri ga ri sa ni sa ri sa ni sa ni da pa.
This is a medium speed bhajan?
Yes. I feel if you start very fast, then it would be little difficult to sing it because the lyrics have to be clear in the with the correct tempo of the bhajan. So this speed would be ideal. 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1
Mera naat hare giridhari, Mera naat hare giridhari, Radha pyare Krishna murari, Radha pyare Krishna murari.
Lovely addition to our vintage bhajans. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Sai Prasad.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So it's time now to move on to the next segment of this program. We will now dwell on the significance of the words that make this bhajan. And joining me in this endeavor is Brother Deepak Anand, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who currently teaches in the Department of Management Studies in the Prashant Nilam campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sai Ram, Brother Deepak Anand, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom for this segment where we discuss the bhava of the bhajan.
Thank you very much, Bishu. I'm so happy to be here again.
And again, it is a bhajan on Lord Krishna. I think the previous one where you were part of was a bhajan on Bhagwan, but we had definitely mention of Krishna.
Yes.
And this one is a purely Krishna bhajan.
Yes.
And I know that you are someone who has had a lot of experiences with Krishna. Your mother has had a lot of very special moments being a very, very ardent devotee of Lord Krishna. And you also, with all these years of proximity with Swami, with the interactions that you have had with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal, as well as the innumerable opportunities of performing in front of Bhagwan, be it skits or plays or dramas. I think there are so many moments, because in all our dramas we have characters from the mythology.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think you can definitely relate to so many instances.
Oh yes.
Whenever you think about all these characters, I think, and that is the reason why Swami has willed that you should be here for this program. So the first line, Mera Nath Hare Giridhari, we all know that when it comes to Swami's favorite devotees,
yes,
I think there on the top of the list you have Prahlada, Meera, Tyagaraja,
Radha.
Radha, yes, absolutely. Radha, Meera. In fact, you know, when I was just reflecting on this very famous song of Meera, which Bhagwan loved, Mere to Giridhar Gopal. And remember when, even when Parveen Sultana ji came, the famous, highly acclaimed, Hindustani vocalist.
Yes.
And, Swami, after hearing all her songs, finally he asked, can you sing this?
This one. Yes, I remember that.
Mere to Giridhar Gopal. And I think after that visit, you know, every time she came, she came completely prepared for this. And what joy Swami used to have. Just listening.
And Swami will always also get very emotional when the songs of Meera and Radha are sung.
Yes.
And really made me feel like, you know, that there is something eternal in this world. That is a love between a devotee and God. God will never forget. Even centuries may pass. If there is pure love in the heart for divinity, he'll always remember.
I think no second that you have spent for the Lord ever goes waste.
Absolutely.
Everything is noted.
Is recorded in the astral records. And Swami always remembers them.
And, you know, just reflecting on this beautiful song, Mere To Giridhar Gopal.
Yes.
You know, I just read a very interesting article, which is written by Mr. B.K. Mishra, you know. Mishra sir teaches in the higher secondary school. So he says that we all think that God is mine. Mere to Giridhar Gopal. You know. So we all think that because God is mine, you know, so I have complete rights on him, you know. So I can ask him for different things, you know. Today I want a promotion, I can ask him. Tomorrow I want a nice house, I can ask him. Tomorrow, day after, you know, I want a vacation, I can ask him. Because mere to Giridhar Gopal, he is mine, you know. That's what most of the time we feel, you know. So he's like, God is like a position, you know. He's one position who can grant us all the other positions of life.
When you have him, you have everything.
You have everything. So that is the kind of feeling many people have. And that's the reason most of the people go to the temples, you know. You have your wishes, and he's like the eternal ATM which any time
you can.
And it is any time grace. I mean, any time you can ask for anything. I mean, that is what God is to many people. And but what Mishra sir was very beautifully saying is, people forget to read the next line. Dusra na koi.
One without a second. Then only he becomes yours.
Then only he becomes yours.
Yes.
We'll think, why did I am praying to the Lord? You know, I have done this much sadhana. I have gone to the temple. I have done bhajan. I have done nagar sankirtan. But I asked for this promotion and it did not happen, you know. I asked for this wish and it was not granted, and someone else is so happy, someone else without going to the temples is, you know, leading a better life, more prosperous life and all that. But the beautiful thing is, the catch is in the next line. Dusra na koi.
Na koi, yes.
Only if for you God is not one who will fulfill all that you want to possess. He is the one for you. Only if you dispossess everything else.
Yes. It is not easy at all.
It's not easy actually.
So because if you really want to go close to him, we have to slowly start becoming like him. Right. And he is always, you know, is absolutely pure love. And Krishna is what? Krishna is basically absolute love. Isn't that the love? There's the prema avatara.
Yes.
And there's, you know, I remember a small instance here that we were sitting for darshan and Swami came through. And then next to me was a boy who was holding a letter. And then Swami asked me, what do you want, boy? I was surprised when the boy said, Swami, I want to die and become one with you.
Okay.
I was very surprised, you know, that, you know, in front of everybody, this boy is making a public request and saying, Swami, I have no interest in my life. I just want to become merged with you and become one with you. And I was looking at Bhagwan, how Bhagwan will react to this particular request now from a devotee. Swami was holding his letters in his both the hands. He opened his both his arms, just like, you know, that you can come. And Swami looked at him and said, welcome, come.
Oh,
merge the boy, merge in me. You want to come and merge in me? Come here. My arms are open for you. Come, my child, come. I'll make you one. And the boy was so embarrassed, he did not know how to merge in Swami.
How to
now
react also.
And Swami, you know, smiled and said, yes, child, it is very nice that you have this desire to come back to me. That is also my great wish that you come back to me. But please understand, you can come to me when you are like me. And I am only love. Oh. And I am only love.
Wow.
He shows that, you know, this is the path that you have to follow. On many occasions, Swami will narrate about the life of Krishna and said, when Yashoda will be very unhappy with Krishna because he has stolen the butter, then she will take a stick. But where is Krishna to be found? He is hiding somewhere. He is run away. Then Yashoda will take the stick and follow the footsteps smeared in butter and then catch him. Swami says, this is the way that you also can reach Swami. What are the two footsteps of Bhagwan? They are love and service. Greater love and greater service. Still greater love and still greater service. Follow these footsteps in your life. Because these are the footprints of God. And then you'll be able to reach Swami. I think the aspect of Swami as Krishna, as the avatar of love, because Swami used to always say, if you really want to encapsulate all my teachings in one single word, that is love. And love automatically translates into service even without asking. A mother loves, mother serves. That has to be the feeling for God. Dusra na koi. Only that feeling of love has to sustain in our hearts. Then only we'll be able to reach towards and become one with God.
Greater love, greater service. And I think the greatest love was Radha.
Yes.
Isn't it?
100%.
Bhagwan has unequivocally mentioned so many times. And in fact, I remember once the Vrindavan Ashram came into being and Swami started spending a lot of time with the students. Right from 1969 till 1979, he used to spend, you know, 6 months, 9 months in a year in Vrindavan.
Yes.
And if you read those letters that Bhagwan has written to the students then, you know, most of them were on these lines. He was all the time telling the students, I want you to be like those gopis and gopalas of Vrindavan. He called the ashram Vrindavan and he wanted every student to have that kind of dusra na koi. Nothing and
single
nobody.
Single pointed devotion.
Nothing and nobody. Just can you be completely focused on Lord? I think that was Radha, isn't it?
And Swami also narrated that, you know, there was a time when Swami had just left Vrindavan campus and he was coming towards Puttaparthi. And one boy had a great desire. He wanted to say something, convey something to Bhagwan, and he didn't get the opportunity to do that. And he was crying and praying profusely. And Swami turned his car back towards Vrindavan and later mentioned to this particular boy, it was because of your prayers and devotion that my car had to turn back and I came back to Vrindavan. See how he also acknowledges, not only that he gives us or shows the path to us, he holds our hand and makes us walk the path of love. That is Swami's greatness as Lord Sai Krishna.
I think that's why Vrindavan has, you know, you talk to any of those students who studied in that period,
right?
You know, 70, 72, 75, 76. Oh my God, the kind of instances that they share. And, you know, because Swami really recreated that Vrindavan because, you know, he recreated a Gokulam there.
Yes.
So boys were doing all those kind of chances to serve and be with Bhagwan that used to happen perhaps in that Vrindavan was recreated in a modern setting here. You know, 100%. When we sing here Vrindavan ke Sai Murari, I mean, that is what comes to my mind most of the times because, you know, here also boys got to look after the cows, boys got to see Swami right in the first thing in the morning.
In the morning.
Like 6:30 they had the chance to be.
Absolutely.
And they could, you know, go to Bhagwan, they can take breakfast, they can go eat with Swami. And in fact, what used to happen is in the early days, boys, after they have this first morning darshan, 6:30, they would just spend time inside because in those days their college used to start at 9:30, you know, because the some of the students have to come from the city and all that.
Right.
And they would be inside Swami's bungalow and Swami would sometimes be, you know, sitting and writing articles for Sanatana Sarathi. And it was a very rudimentary sort of wall, on a wall, brick wall that Swami used to sit and just put his, you know, one leg on top of the other. It's like a pad and, you know, and that would be the table. And, you know, on a pad, he will just write, you know, articles for Sanatana Sarathi. It would just flow. And the boys would be just, you know, with Bhagwan. And then suddenly Swami said, okay, come, you go for breakfast.
Yes.
So, I mean, there were so many such...
And Swami would also play with the children.
Oh, yes.
Be with the child with them.
Yes.
And many occasions, suddenly he'll reveal his divinity also.
Yes.
Like, you know, like once Swami was in the Rajmata's bungalow, which was towards the college building and campus.
Yes.
And Swami was sitting with all the students there and this one particular boy had gone for his classes and some other work to the hostel. And Swami asked for this boy and where's this particular boy? Swami took his name. And Swami, he's not yet come, he's still in the hostel. And Swami said, you know, I know everything. Now Swami is sitting in this particular Rajmata's bungalow and giving a living live commentary on the movements of this particular boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says, now he has gone, he's washing his face, now he's coming, he's setting his dress right, now he's come out of this particular hostel, and then he's met somebody else, now they're on the way, they're discussing like this, on this particular topic, now he's climbed up, now he's come to the particular garden, now he's towards the bungalow, now he's opened the door, and here he is, and the boy came. So Swami would, you know, be a child with all those children, and wow, make them relive those days of the Vrindavan.
Wow.
Amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, even when Bhagwan built the new residence, you know, he called it Trayi Vrindavan.
Trayi Vrindavan, yes.
And I think, you know, that's why every time you, when we have these lines in the bhajan, you know, in another bhajan also you have word Vrindavan. So many bhajans that comes, like, you know, oh Bhagwan, Partipuri ke tum ho data, Vrindavan ke tum ho data, sab bhakton ke man ko bhata. In this line also you have, the next line is Bhaktodhari, Baba Murari. Sab bhakton ke man ko bhata. I mean, he is the one, you know, who enchants the hearts of everyone. And I think that is what also is conveyed if you look at the last line of this bhajan, Bhaktodari Baba Murari.
Murari, yes. You'd ask about my mother's experiences, and so many times Swami revealed to her, because she was a very ardent Krishna devotee, and she still is, looks at Swami as Sai Krishna. Swami gave her many experiences about, and last time I also shared one experience with you where Swami revealed to her that he only is Krishna. Then I also had another experience, because we were from the very beginning childhood, we were brought up as Krishna devotees before we came to Bhagwan's fold. Swami in 1998 gave me the role of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa in the convocation drama. And will you imagine that for this particular drama itself, Swami had called us hundreds of times for interviews to see our rehearsal.
I think one of those dramas where Swami spent nearly 2.5 months, right?
Continuously.
Every rehearsal he was
every
watching.
Rehearsal. Morning, evening, we used to go to interview room. Swami will look at every dialogue, every movement of the actors, every song, every costume. Swami was totally involved in this particular drama. But then, I really was not a devotee of Mother Kali, because Mother Kali was very new to me, and I was a devotee of Krishna. It was not really gelling in well. I was trying my best to do my role, and then Swami was guiding me.
As Ramakrishna Paramahansa, you should express your anguish to Mother Kali.
Have that supreme love towards her, and be able to, you know, see. In fact, we were talking a lot about, Swami in fact showed to all of us, when I asked him, Swami, did Ramakrishna Paramahamsa really experience God like that? So he says, yes, not only experience, he used to talk to her, he used to see her everywhere. And then Swami showed the actual hand movements, whereby when he used to go into this samadhi, saying, Ma, Ma. Swami showed us in action. And, you know, we are reliving those particular, you know, times, like Ramakrishna lived with Mother Kali at that time in Calcutta. So now all this was going on, but still my devotion was very premature. So then Swami told me to read the gospel of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa.
So that you can get into the role.
In that kind of a role. And then trying to live that particular role. But then when the rehearsals were happening, the image of Mother Kali was not there. It was only an empty altar in the beginning. And I was saying my lines, imagining Mother Kali being there. But I was not able to get into grips with the devotion of Mother Kali and that feeling that, that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had. So seeing my dilemma, Swami asked one of the boys after the rehearsal to get a statue, a beautiful statue of Lord Krishna from behind the stage, and said, Deepak needs Krishna more than Kali. Place the idol there.
Swami said that.
Yes.
Oh.
And the idol was placed. And now I am looking at the image of Lord Krishna, and I am speaking the dialogues to Mother Kali.
But so you are saying Ma, Ma.
I am saying Ma, Ma to Lord Krishna. But you know, because Lord Krishna is so dear to
Joy
our
Ma.
Family, Joy Ma.
Joy Ma.
And it is such it was such a convenience for me to, you know.
So that worked?
That worked for me. That worked for me. After I had read the gospel of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, after listening to Swami for so many times, when my devotion to Mother Kali matured, then Swami, 1 week or 10 days before the actual drama, Swami asked this statue of Krishna to be placed back at the backstage, and then brought the image of Mother Kali and placed it in front of me and said, now you go ahead.
Oh, wow.
This was, you know, how Bhaktadhari, Sai Murari, he only knows the innermost recesses of our heart. He knows to which form of God we are devoted to and how we can translate from one form to another. So he's playing the entire drama. He's the one in all the forms.
Wow.
That is only Swami can do that.
Fantastic. I mean, because he is the indweller. He knows what is going on in our
hearts. Absolutely.
Wow. And you know, Murari means one who killed the demon Mura. And I think, you know, Swami constantly is only doing this. You know, he's killing those demons inside us. You know, those demons of... see, you had that problem because you were seeing some diversity between the forms. Isn't it? So he wanted to kill that demon of diversity.
Demon of diversity.
See, I think now probably you will not have that much of a problem whichever shrine you see, isn't it?
100%. So he basically tries to make us empty. And on many occasions, you know, Swami will always say that sometimes Radha would be very jealous of the flute of Lord Krishna and say, so for I am pining for Lord Krishna's presence, but you seem to be always be with him, always near his body, near him.
And near his lips all the time.
On the lips all the time. Then how are you able to do that? Then Swami says, flute replies that I have made myself completely empty. I want the breath and the love of Lord Krishna to pass through me uninterrupted. That makes me close to him.
Dusra na koi.
And that is how, as you very correctly said, Bishu, that Swami removes the muras, you know, all these desires from our heart. So on many occasions, you know, I will, when I sit in the bhajan mandir, there's a bifurcation, Swami's carpet, red carpet, and then we have the lady's side on the other side, and we have the gent's side. So he would always sit, you know, take the corner places because Swami will walk through. And some, many a times when Swami will come through, he'll make me, he'll make a joke about my marriage.
Oh.
And he will, one day he just came by and then he said, looked at a nice plump woman on the other side and told her, see, look at this particular boy. He's a good boy. You can adopt him as your son-in-law. Then he told me, see, this is a rich lady from Mumbai. It is very good for you to get adopted by her. Then I said, Swami, you have already taken me as your child, Swami.
Oh.
I don't need to be adopted by anybody else. Swami, you know, I was surprised by my answer. In the spur of the moment, you know, I was feeling very uncomfortable because quite in a public view, Swami is talking about my marriage and fixing up my mother-in-law. So I said, Swami, you already adopted me as your own son. Swami, then Swami looked towards, you know, Swami is surprised by my answer and then looked towards this lady and says, walking away, he has got a little mental problem. Don't worry, I'll look for another good boy for you. So he has to be the winner. At the end of, because Krishna, you cannot beat Krishna. You can never bind him. He's always the anoraniyan mahatomahiyan. He'll slip away at some time and he'll be bigger and the biggest at some time. But it's a joy to look at him with both the forms and experience his divinity and beauty.
And I think, you know, at that point in time also, you know, because you had that kind of a pure feeling for Bhagwan, that spontaneously it came out. So I mean, I'm your child.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yeah.
So I mean, so the Lord also sort of had to acknowledge that.
Yes.
He had to acknowledge that.
Yes.
I think so that is the thing. Ultimately, purity of feeling is what, you know, when we talk about why Krishna used to go after the gopis and the gopikas and the butter, the so-called butter that Krishna loved. You know,
absolutely.
We know it is that purity that Bhagwan has mentioned.
100%. And with that purity, in a Vishu, you can hold Swami's hand and feet. You can tell Swami anything. You can see one. I remember when you talked about the butter, that whenever the prasadam is distributed in the mandir, after that, you know, whatever is remaining as prasadam has to be kept inside Swami's prasadam room, that corner room as we call it. After interview room, storeroom, then the corner room. And Swami will have his very quick meals. As the aarti starts, Swami will just go and have his quick meals and then he'll come back. So one day, me and another boy, we were holding these two boxes of prasadam. And as we went into this particular corner room, from the dining hall side, Swami immediately came in. Now there is no place for two people to pass by.
Oh.
So this boy was wondering, was waiting for Swami's instructions. I was standing behind him. And for 15-20 seconds, there was no movement. Swami is staring at us and we are staring at Swami. Nobody is moving. Neither Swami is coming forward, neither we are going back. And we thought, you know, what is going to be happen? I was slightly scared, you know. Will Swami get angry at us? Actually, we are blocking Swami's way. Swami suddenly, you know, just like a stag, you know, that male deer, just pointed his head towards us and said, you know, I said, oh, what is this that you're doing? So, but still there was no movement. Now, between that box that we were holding and the wall, there may be only 5 to 6 inches gap. Very small gap was there. So, as the boy moved towards the wall to create the gap a little more, within that 6 inches, suddenly, in a wink, in a flash of a moment, Swami just passed through that and went to the other side and smiled and looked towards and said, I can even pass between two layers of butter. This is enough for me. Yes.
Wow.
So he just passed through those 5 to 6 inches. I don't know how it was possible. It is not physically possible, but he just, in a, within a fraction of a second, he passed by. Swish. And then so he looked towards us and smiled and said, I can even pass through two layers of butter. This is enough for me. So wow. It was an amazing experience.
Wow. I mean, these are those revealing moments, really.
Yes.
You know, spontaneously.
Absolutely. And when you are totally, after, later only you really understand what greatness, what revelation Swami has made in those few moments of time.
Wow, I think people who have lived with Bhagwan in close proximity would have had so many such moments, you know, when suddenly he parts the curtain and you have glimpses of who
glimpses.
He really.
And Bishu, I think this requires many hours of, you know, sharing of experiences, because every time we are with Swami, you talked about Kodaikanal. Once we were just, I'll just take 2 minutes time to share one very important experience. As we were going towards the Kodaikanal, and Swami said we'll go for a picnic to the hilltop bungalow. And then we all on the way, and we were really enjoying with Bhagwan. We were singing bhajan. Swami was materializing a lot of things. Suddenly, Swami just stopped the bus and said, stop the bus. And he peered out of the window and saw that there are two woodcutter women just walking away into the forest. And Swami told those the people along, please call these women. So first of all, they were scared. Why somebody is calling us? And they said, no, Satya Sai Baba is calling. So they came running and they had bundles of wood on their head. And then Swami asked them to be put it down. Then Swami spoke to them in their local language about some family problem, something like that. At the end of that, Swami gave them 500 rupees each as his blessings and gave them namaskar. And then Swami told the police personnel who were there along with him and said, help to keep this particular bundles of wood back on their head comfortably. See how Swami, the knower of the hearts of everyone, understood these two women required his blessings, called them close, gave them what they required, and made sure, just like Krishna used to always say, that I will help you to this thing.
Remove your
burden. So that burden had to be carried.
Yes.
But Swami made sure that burden was comfortably given back to them, and they could happily go back with his blessings. Such a revealing moment, really. And you're wondering why Swami has stopped the bus in the middle of nowhere. But Swami knew where his devotees are. Swami knew who required. Jagdodhara. Yes.
Bhaktodhara.
That is Bhagwan
Baba Murari.
There's innumerable such experiences, Bishu. That shows Swami is not different from Krishna.
True. I mean, as we sing this bhajan, I think we have to think about those moments. You know, where, you know, when we sing this line, Bhaktodhara Baba Murari, we have to think about how there have been so many emancipating moments in our life. You know, he has refined us. He has elevated us.
Right.
He has liberated us, you know, from so many situations.
Yes.
Time and again. And I think, you know, once you're filled with that kind of a feeling, once you're filled with that kind of intensity of love, that is what, you know, Baba Murari, if you can think of, that kind of, pining for his love, just like Radha, just like Meera. I think that's what this bhajan is urging us, you know.
Right.
Can we pine for the Lord like Radha? Can we long for the Lord like Meera? And then experience those liberating moments.
Right.
With the divine.
Yes.
And I think it is for all of us to see how we can use all these beautiful phrases that are used in this bhajan as catalysts for us to go close to him.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother.
It was such a joy. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. Deepak Anand, an alumnus of the Prashant Niram campus of Bhagwan University. With that, we move on to the last part of this program. You will now listen to the Mandir version of this beautiful bhajan.
Meera Nath Hare Giridhari, Meera
To the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 30th August 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.